Hello and welcome back to Supernatural, where we're on a quest to make the extraordinary ordinary and unlock the greatness that lives in every human being. Thanks for joining us. My guest today is Cedar Lotz. Cedar is a poet, somatic guide, and sacred educator whose work weaves together personal healing, spiritual reclamation, and collective awakening. With over 400 hours of training in a lineage-based Ashtanga yoga practice, 5 years in Bible college and pastoring, and 15 years as a creative arts director for a nonprofit, Cedar brings a unique perspective to her work that blends embodiment, artistry, and a complex foundation of spiritual and creative exploration. Cedar, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Amazing. Thank you for having me, Chad. So good.
Yeah, this is exciting. So you have quite the story, quite the background. Let's start there. Can you just walk us through some of your journey and what you've experienced over the years?
Yeah, I just, you know, I don't know if a lot of people can relate to my childhood. I grew up analog, so like I'm an 80s baby, but I also grew up, my parents were like radically saved hippies, I suppose. Like, I don't really know where to place them. But my dad came out of a theater arts school, and I had three brothers, and my dad was our art teacher. And a part of what we did as a family was performance. So we had a troupe. It was called Captain Kerfuffle's Clown Alley, and each of us had a character. And I think the first time I performed with my brothers, I was about four. I was already riding a unicycle. And I just remember I was so excited to step into it, like after watching my brothers, and I felt like excited to get up there and do it. Yeah, so I my face was painted. So I kind of reference my childhood in drag. Like I always was like in characters and wearing masks and performing and experiencing, my human experience was just really weird and, set the stage for how I would live my life as a teen and what made sense to me. So I took that into my teenage years. I attempted to go to school, and it was so odd to, what are we? So we all want to be the same. Like I just never fit in. I was always othered. I was a little bit, and then there was this like push and pull dynamic of like, I've been raised in so much supernatural and believing and dreaming and creating and imagination. Education really failed me on that front. And so even like, what do I want to do when I graduate? For me, I was like, oh, I want to work with people. I want to work with teenagers. I want to teach dance. I want to teach art. And so getting into pastoring for me made sense. By the time I was 24, and I'd already done 5 years of theology, and I was in a full-time internship to pastor with a beautiful nonprofit organization. And and from there, I stayed there for about, it was a long time, like 14 years, 15 years. So Christian mysticism was the, it was like beyond Pentecostal. I don't know, like this language, it was all spirit led and heart led and breath and worship and, you know, connecting with the divine and what comes through from source and how do we take that into action and how do we use that for service and how do we do that in outreach and how do we do that creatively and how do we grow? It was always growth. And so I loved that environment, and that's where my roots really, like you in my 20s, I knew I loved the supernatural. So, yeah.
Yeah. Let's start with the clowning. You're introduced at a very young age to this reality that we're all told to wear masks in our society. Yeah. That there's this idea of what we can and can't be, and that we need to be the same. We need to surround ourselves with people who think or act in the same way as us. How did that experience in theater growing up really shape your experience of our world and how we're all expected to act and be in a certain way?
Right. Like, it was just, it was, I love Gabor Mate's work that has come through in the last 10 years or so. It's gotten so big, and it's The Myth of Normal. And I suggest, it's a big book, but it's broken into lots of small chapters. And it's just like, it's like we all have to wear so many masks. We're kind of just taught to do it. And it does take us away from our essence and from our supernatural, from our beingness, right? So, you know, like, clowning is wonderful because there's so much playfulness and improv and curiosity, and you're rolling with the moment. Like, my dad's like, Alyssa, you're going to unicycle with a bucket on your head. And I'm like, what? Like, okay, you know, we'll practice. We'll do a practice, you know? And it's like, it definitely taught my nervous system, like, this fluidity and this flexibility and this playfulness that I'm ever, ever so grateful for. So I think mask wearing can be very playful, you know, to put things on and try it and see how it works and experiment with it. Now getting stuck in a mask, like, that's always really tough, right? Like, I'm supposed to be this way. We've talked about that, Chad.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's like you're just, like, stuck. And we've all experienced that, like, stuck in a mask. I mean, in my childhood, it was like metaphorically and poetically, like I literally was a clown. But, you know, it was like, I always had this like intuitive desire and pulse to create myself. Like, I knew that you could do that at any point. That was just a knowing deep inside me at a very young age, which is supernatural, right? Like, that's really what we're experiencing.
Yeah. And then from there you go into pastoral studies, theology, and it sounds like you were raised in a very, as you said, Pentecostal environment. It was very spirit led, very free, letting things come through. And I also grew up in a religious tradition, but mine was more Orthodox, more traditional. Mm-hmm. I went to Catholic high school.
Oh my gosh.
Which felt very rigid, very dogmatic. And this is not like to bash on religion, because I think religion is a beautiful path. It's, you know, some of the best people I know are people that I've met in faith-based communities. But at the same time, I think in many forms, religion can be constraining. It can be restrictive. It's very rule-based. It can get us locked into this dogma of black, white, right, wrong, good, bad, this very tribalistic mentality that really constricts us from experiencing the truth and the freedom of who we are. It can be a mask in a lot of ways. Yeah. So, what was your experience with this, and how did you find ways to kind of move beyond the dogma and the theology into an inner experience of your spiritual nature?
Yeah, I definitely was caught up in it, and identified with a lot of what you're saying. Like, you don't really know you are until you're not, which is such a funny part of supernatural and transformation. Like, you're shedding, right? Like, I thought, you know, it's like, it all makes sense. Like, for me, I was really taught to love Jesus, like, as a little girl, and it was like loving myself was second. And as I went through all this education and I kept like centering Jesus, I noticed I had this pattern of like centering a male. And then at one point in my leadership, I had to start a new organization, And someone I was working with, he was a male, and, you know, and the pattern came up, right? And it was like, I'll just help. Like, it was like, I kind of need permission from him. Like, he kind of, you know, and it was like some of that voice coming through. And I started to notice that. And I was like, oh, like, that does not feel good in my body. You know, that, as that came through, you know, especially with the birth of my children, there's just so much sovereignty in birth. These things, they shift us, right? And we make adjustments. Like, we're like, ooh, like, I'm at a threshold. What's the adjustment, you know, and getting intuitive about what that adjustment is going to be. So for me, I just was all of a sudden like, okay, like, Jesus is awesome. I love spending time with him. I've had so many supernatural things happen. I have this wonderful relationship with him. And then it was like a big letdown. I was like, what if he's not a him? What if God's female? Like, this is like mid-20s, you know, like, what if it's just source is just like energy? Like, what if, you know, and it was just like, then you expand out of gender and you expand and you're anything you're outsourcing, you sort of start asking bigger questions. And this is a part of what we do, right? And then I just felt it bigger than that. Like, I started making moves when I had a knowing, like when I didn't want permission, like I didn't want to do the rules. And more I did that, the more and more I sort of was like, this doesn't work for me. This doesn't work for this. Oh, the feedback from those around me is, as a woman, I'm not allowed to do this. So I was kind of like, fuck it. I gotta do me. Because at that point, my embodiment process, my sovereignty was like, you know, like when I tapped in with myself, she felt very divine and like she knew what she wanted to do. And then that's when I was like, oh, like, Jesus is here. Like, who else could be here? Like, what is quantum? Like, what do I want to drop up here in this field? And that's when I started to play, like, really play with my identity, with, you know, like my pings, you know, those intuitive pings, like, oh, I'm going to try that. Ooh, that felt good. That doesn't feel good. Like, and so I think that's a part of how I dropped it. So it took from about 28 to 35, I was done. Like, I was like, not, I was like, thanks. It's been a good time, Jesus. But, we're totally somewhere else now. So,
yeah. And I think that's a phase that pretty much everybody on the spiritual awakening kind of graduating from religious dogma goes through, is where you just throw it all away.
Burn it.
Screw this. This sucks. Totally. You know, I hate
it. Why am I doing this? Like, why did I do all that school? Like, it's just like it's not even self-doubt. You're just, it really is like fire. It's like, fuck it. Like, and what if I didn't do that? You know? And I think you have to ask those questions and really take action to like play in that space, right? In those thresholds.
Right. Yeah. And I love how you talk about returning to that state of play, that kind of childlike state. And something you said a couple times was permission. And I felt that way too. In that kind of religious structure, it's like you're always asking somebody else for permission to be yourself and do what you want to do. And is this right? Does this, you know, does this put me in the box of righteousness and okayness? And it just, at some point, it doesn't feel right. It feels like you're giving your power away. And to me, that's kind of the opposite of godliness, I think, and this path that we're all meant to walk of remembering our true essence and our true power.
Yes. So good, Chad. Totally.
Which is, I think, a really good segue into kind of what we're going to be talking about today when it has to do with returning back home to yourself, tapping into intuition. How do we manifest and create the life that we want? Because it's we're living in a cool time where it feels like everything's really coming to a head. It's coming full circle, where we have religion, science, quantum physics, and the spiritual traditions of all ages really who are converging at the same truth that our physical reality is not all there is, that the language all these different fields use might be different, but what they're all arriving at is that there is this unseen reality that underlies our physical existence. Call it God, Source, Spirit, the quantum field, infinite intelligence, many different names. But really what this is getting at is that we live in a universe of mind. Everything is thought. It's all mental. It's all a dynamic process of creation. And the duality, the dark versus light polarity that we experience, is a necessary part of this co-creative process of experiencing what we are not, so we can choose what we are and what we do want to create. So explain this quantum spiritual reality. How do you like to describe this to people, and what's your experience been with it?
I mean, there's so many different ways to bring expression to it. I'm currently, as you mentioned, I'm in a lineage-based yoga. So it's called Ashtanga, and it's really resonated for me. Like I can land. I think that's important to land somewhere, you know, like play somewhere, right? Like, even if it's like, there's such a big move of meditation in the West right now. So it's like, you know, like land in meditation and start playing. Like for me, it was, I need a lot of movement. I'm a manifester in my human design. So there's a lot of energy coming through me all the time, all the time. You felt it, you know, and then in other design profiles, they have different energy imprints. And what I loved about Ashtanga, and I'd love to say like, I found Ashtanga. I literally was at the grocery store. I saw this little tiny pamphlet. I had just moved my family to an island. I moved like to a mountain, an island in a mountain, and some things aligned. That's another story for itself. But I went to the grocery store and I saw this little pamphlet, and there was a woman there on the pamphlet, and I just felt this ping. Like it was like ping. And I felt that a few times in my life. One was with my partner, who I've been with for almost 20 years. And it was like a ping, like, go and be with her. Go and spend time with that woman. And as I walked away from the ping, I was in it. Like, it's like a electric. It's like a current. And when I'm in it now, I'm like, ooh, like, I know how to, okay, like, this is juicy. Like, it's juicy. And I was like, what? And so I like went back and I looked at it, and it was like Nectar Yoga, Tina Pashmati James. She's works with indigenous elders in the region, land management, Ashtanga yoga. So for me, I was like, I have done like not a lot of yoga, but I have a lot of movement in my resume, dance teacher, creative arts, so a lot of acting, like theater, production management. And I was like, yoga. Like, I became a personal trainer for a while to work with some of my clients and some of my higher executive clients. And I was like, yoga, like meditation, like, okay. But you know, that part didn't make sense, but the ping made sense and the woman made sense. And so I was like, okay, I'll look into it. So I ended up looking into it, and I think it was like a large amount of money. I committed to it because I was like, I know a call. I'm going to go. I'm going to take the month of February off. I'm going to step back from everything in my life. This is 6 months out, and go and do this training with this woman. As I said yes, like I went back and forth with the pamphlet. I was saying yes. Like there was this yes happening. And I always go back to that because there was the yes, right? Like that was, I said yes in that moment. I allowed it to be juicy. I allowed that current. I was like, what is this? And it's, you can come back to that yes, playful space, that juicy space. And I ended up at her, in her training, in this dome in the middle of the forest for 30 days with 20 other people doing this yoga that is not yoga. It's like meditative hatha breath work, like 16 hours a day some days. And it, like, I got through it. I did these 200 hours with her. And like, Chad, 18 months ago, I was running my own business in Vancouver, BC. It was construction based. I, you know, there was like 25 employees. I like it just, right? Like that, like these transitional spaces where your timeline can shift and you can step into a yes. And like everything has to adjust for you. I think that's what we're talking about, right?
And it doesn't make sense to the mind.
No.
But something ignites in your soul where it says, I have to do this and I have to go down this path.
Yeah. And then when you're in it, it's so beautiful. And I find this with coaching is like, we're learning even in our program, direct desire, right? The yes. Saying, you know, getting the vision or feeling the yes or starting to play with like what comes forth for you when you are with yourself, when you are in the silence, when you are taking that space to be a multi-dimensional being. What is happening for you and how do we tune into that and how do we tune into other things around us and follow what's happening. When I saw that little pamphlet, when I met you, you know, like that we did our worth work together, like, and now we're here, you know, and like, the, like this is life. These are the moments we pay attention to and they're very small at first, right? And we can almost play with them and allow them to pulse, right? Like, ooh, like what is happening when I'm looking at this pamphlet? Whew, okay, you know, and then just drop it. Just forget about it. Come back to it tomorrow when you're getting your groceries. Like, have you had moments like that in your life, Chad, where you're like, you know, like, ah, that's nothing. And then you come back and you're like, oh, that's something, right?
Like, yeah, like, oh, it makes sense now. I get it.
Yeah.
Or maybe, yeah. I was like, I was too stubborn to listen the first time, but now I see that I should have listened. But, you know, even if I missed that off ramp, the universe is going to bring me another one. And it's going to, the intelligence of life is going to orchestrate things in a way that we can't fail to find those yeses and to be on the path that we're meant to be on.
Yeah. And playing, I think feeling excited, knowing the goodness in your body, like it is a higher frequency, you know, that you learn to manifest from those states, you know, when that's happening, ooh, pay attention, like, go back there, you know, and we do a lot of that. Like, when's the last time that you, right? And then when did you follow that current? What does that feel like in your body? You know, some of the work we do, activations, like I love working with women. I'm not doing this anymore, but women getting divorced, coming out of long-term relationships, dropping monogamy. Like, it's like, when's the last time you felt alive? No permission. It's your life. Like, you want, you know, you need to follow that ping and go and do that thing without all of this responsibility and family constellation work, like, you know, suffocating you. Like, sometimes like, it's like, oh, I don't even remember. Like, what are you talking about, supernatural? Like, I'm so with like two toddlers, it's a pandemic. I'm so depressed. Like, what is this person talking about? Right? Like, it can feel so dense and it can feel like you're saying, right? Like, and this pulse, this juiciness is our intuition, right? Witnessing, coming back and like feeling into those spaces is our supernatural human experience, for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I love the path that you took there. When you first started answering the question, I was like, what direction is she going with this? But you you really pulled it back around in a very experiential way. And what I love about that is this is something everybody can relate to, whether you're religious or not, spiritual or not, wherever you are in life, everybody's had these moments where their path kind of changed, or when they got that inner yes. And everyone can relate to that experience. And I think what you're saying really is that's our doorway to the divine. That is our direct connection. And that's when we know we've made that connection to something bigger, some bigger force or intelligence or love. And we all get it in various different ways, but nevertheless, it's a human experience. And I think this is a great transition into really what we would consider intuition, or receiving that higher guidance, connecting to that greater part of ourselves. Because I think all that we're really after in life is remembering who we are, returning home and experiencing the love and the connection and the oneness that comes when we remember who we are as this limitless, unbounded spiritual being that is connected to all that is. And this is our intuition. You could call them the clairvoyant or the psychic senses. You could call them spiritual gifts. I'm personally not a fan of the word gifts because it makes it sound like it's given to some and not to others. But I think we're both on the same page that no, this is available to everybody. We are all supernatural. But because of the way that we live and we've been raised, we were never taught how to really develop these parts of ourselves. A lot of our spiritual higher senses and the clairvoyant senses, they're dormant in most human beings, that we think we're limited to the five senses of the physical world. So how do you advise people to get in touch with that part of themselves, the part that knows all, is connected to all, that part that we would call intuitive?
So beautiful.
What do you tell people?
You know, it's interesting. Like, I'm just like soaking up what you just said. That was so beautiful. Thank you. Yeah, you know, it's essence work, right? So there's this like, you know, there's this moment. I felt it when I was a young girl. So I was lucky to have a space to feel this, but there would be someone singing or on their guitar. And I think we feel it with music the quickest, probably. I think it carries. But that moment where you're listening to a song and you just like, you just drop into it. It's like you and the song are like, you're in the song. Like, just think of the song, you know, like your hype song or people. Like, for me, I think that as a little girl, like these songs, like these worship songs, you know, it's almost like we, as humans, the singing, like the act of singing together or being in a choir or being in a group of people singing. And then I've experienced it again and again, you know. And then after you sing, you know, there's like this silence. And in that moment, you know, people have their hands closed or some people are just like sitting or, you know, like there's this like unknown, like what's happening next. You can kind of feel like sacred or holy or essence. You can kind of feel it drop down and meet you. Like you can set up spaces so that there's this like, and it gets you, like it gets you right in the heart and it makes you very tender. It just opens you up. And so like for me, that process of just beginning to open yourself up, open your heart up. There's lots of different rituals, or I understand we're talking about something so big, but to have access to that as a child and to know I don't have to do anything for that. Like I thought it was Jesus at the time, but it's just being human. Like when you take some time to like sing to a song you love, and then you put on a slow song after singing, this is just a great thing anyone can do. Put on a song you love. I'm going into action, Chad. Put on a song you love, like,
love
and then,
it.
You know, and then put on a song that gets you in the heart. Like, I don't know, like it's different for everyone. I love someone right now, AHI. I'll put out playlists. I have so many playlists. But when you get into the slow song, you notice your heart just opens, and then like practice staying there for a second, you know, and that's why we say sit down, like make a quiet space, like put on the music, light a candle. So we're creating this space for this moment where you feel your connection to something bigger than your thoughts, than your projections, than your illusions. Like it's like you're falling back into yourself, and that's attached to source. And it's like you're making space for that. And then your awareness to that increases. Like anyone can do this work. Anyone. And the more often you're in that space, you realize it really is about like doing nothing, like that doobie doobie doobie. Like you're receiving that sacred, what is this? And at first it's like, what is this? It just opens my heart. It makes me so tender. It's like, it's here, right? Like, what is it? And I used to call that, you know, this or this, but it's like, would you agree, Chad? Like any human can do that and start asking those questions and realize, oh my gosh, maybe there's something else, right?
Oh yeah. In that I love how you describe that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it really is in the silence. It's mm-hmm. in the gaps between our thoughts. Mm-hmm. We're not able to actually think our way there through any belief system, because the thing we're trying to connect to is bigger than the mind. It doesn't exist in a linear way in mm-hmm. space and time the mm-hmm. way that we think of it. Mm-hmm. I think so. You really need to mm-hmm. let the mind drop out of the way. Mm-hmm. And in that silence, in that space, yeah. you'll experience it.
Yeah.
And that's really the goal of all of these different spiritual modalities and practices, like yeah. meditation and yoga, movement, breath work, mm-hmm. all of it. It's like, can I get past who I think I am to mm-hmm. experience my own bigness and mm-hmm. greatness?
Mm-hmm.
And what you brought up that mm-hmm. I really, really like is that you don't have to do anything for it. I think when I was younger, I used to think that I could experience this at church because I showed up and I was making God happy.
Yeah.
And so God would reward me with something good, something I wanted, or this experience. But if yeah. I was on my own, I couldn't have that because I was doing something wrong. And it's like, no, we don't need to do anything to earn it. This is who we are. This is our true nature. It's our birthright. And we just get in our own way with our own stories mm-hmm. and thoughts. And so mm-hmm. another common question I think I hear when it comes to this and tapping into your intuition or your higher guidance is, how do I know if it's my intuition or if it's my own fear-based thoughts?
Mm-hmm.
And I always say, you'll feel it in the body. It's an expansion mm-hmm. versus contraction.
Mm-hmm.
True mm-hmm. intuition will kind of whisper. It won't
yeah.
order you to do anything or
yeah.
force you. Is there anything else that you would say when it comes to this, differentiating true intuition versus
yeah.
fear and programming?
Yeah, I mean, like, there's this beautiful saying, never taking action to take action. Like, it's like everything comes from non-action, from flow.
Mm-hmm.
You start to feel when you're pushing, like it's the same pattern. You can kind of, you know, feel, you can feel in your body the alignment. Like, I think I've pushed, you know, I've pushed past my tenderness, and I've learned, like, intuition is in the softness and in your tenderness and in your vulnerability. That's where the most, you're going to find the most supernatural, like the most communication is, you know, that's that. Yeah. Is that landing, Chad? Like the staying soft, like, it's like, how do you know you're playing in the field? And, it's like a, it's fun. Like when you're like getting really stressed out and rigid and you're experiencing self-doubt and all these things are coming forward. Yes, that's resistance. Like I know the shape of that. I know the feeling of that in my body, but I can trace back to my yes, to the energy of my yes, because I've played there.
It's a little bit deeper than the surface level noise almost.
Yeah. It's like when you start playing with, you know, aligned action, and it shifts you, it grows you. Like you start to understand, like, oh, well, when I did that, I didn't know what my values were, right? I didn't have clarity on that yet. So now we've got values and we've got intention, and now we're moving in integrity. Well, I didn't know you had to move in integrity. I just was doing what the Bible said. Like, those things come from within and make you more and more supernatural, because you're waiting, like, in a, you know, you're playing while you're waiting. Like, there's, yeah, I don't know if that's coming out properly.
No, that's a great point, though, about how we've lost touch with our own integrity. I think that's such a common thing, because we're so worried about what other people are telling us to do, or what society wants us to do, or what our religion wants us to do. You know, this is good, this is bad. You should get this job, but not that job.
Totally.
And we lose touch with the inner guidance of what our soul really wants.
And it's like every time you do play in that yes, it gets louder, and then it's like, oh, how did you become an intuitive guide? Well, you do keep saying yes. And some things I've said yes to, it's been a full body yes, has been like the most resistance, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like the yes usually comes first for me in my embodiment and my practice.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's a great point.
Yeah.
I've experienced it too. It's like you'll have a knowing that this is true, this is right.
Yeah.
I should start moving there. And then as soon as you get that intuition, it's like all the fear in your brain starts to kick in and tell you, no, that's not safe. Don't go there.
Really?
But really, that's your resistance. And it feels like, it feels crunchy, but underneath all of that, there's still a yes.
Mm-hmm.
There's still something
pulling
you. And
that yes becomes like that peace. Like, it's like that peace that surpasses all of the resistance you're going through. And that peace, I find, is very supernatural. You can really play with that peace, like losing your peace. What is your peace? Being a peaceful being, playing with your peace. And like, that is a beautiful practice for us, is, oh my gosh, I'm out of peace. I'm in chaos. I'm freaking out. I'm in my thoughts. I'm having an anxiety. I'm having a panic attack. Like, when you get up there, it's like, oh, sweet, we're up there. Okay. And then, like, coming back down, grounding, centering, and then noticing that space, you know, it's like allowing yourself to be human in that and like being able to look at it and relate to it and understand what's going on makes you quite supernatural. Like, yeah.
Yeah. And you can kind of sense that, like I can sense that in you, that your life is just kind of being guided by some greater force. And I think when you tap into that, life does just move with a little bit more ease and grace. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like you're forcing everything. Mm-hmm. Of course, we're human beings and it's going to be messy. We're going to make mistakes. It's not always going to make sense to our mind, but it just feels like exactly what you said, like this peace mm-hmm. that kind of permeates mm-hmm. through. And it just pulls you in the right direction. It pulls you to the right people and the right situations. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I may not understand where I'm going, but I know I'm exactly where I need to be. And that's mm-hmm. the piece that I think mm-hmm. we're all after mm-hmm. is to know that it's good.
To really know that is life. Like, And then it starts to sound really philosophical and really mystic because it's like, oh, why are you writing all this poetry? Because like, that's actually what being alive is about. Like right. knowing that you knowing that in your being that you're held, like, and that held is a friendliness. It's like it's like a goodness and it is a peace. And you can be going through hell and feel that, and it like sustains you, you know, and sometimes you're not doing anything for it. That's the crazy thing about supernatural is like, do you want an example?
Yeah.
Okay. With my third child, I went in for a 20-week ultrasound and, I just went in by myself. I had had two other, kids and it was pretty basic. So I parked at the hospital. I went up and this woman was giving me my ultrasound and she was like, yeah, I got to get a doctor. And I was like, okay, that's good. So she left for half an hour and I was just like laying on this bed. I'm like, oh my God, what is going on? And so my anxiety, like it just was like present, like a being was like, ah, you know, just thoughts like something's wrong, like da, da, da. And it was weird. I was like acknowledging it. I was like, yeah, it's going to be okay. Like, just chill. Like I'm just holding my center, but it's weird. You know, like it was just weird. And this woman came in and she was like, yeah, I've got a doctor here. I guess your baby, like, it's just all this gray matter. There's nothing growing. And I was like, what are you talking about? You know, like, this is so crazy. And, you know, and he was like, yeah, we'll shoot you over to the MFM and we'll figure out what's going on. And I'm like, MFM, like, what is that? Maternal fetal what? And he's like, yeah, you can come back in next week. And then they just kind of sent me home. And I was like, I was so shook, you know, I was so in shock. And, I didn't know what was going to happen. There was so much uncertainty, so much unknown. I mean, I'm growing. I am the life force for this being inside of me. And I kept checking in with him and being like, yo, you okay? And he'd be like, yeah, I'm good. I'm like, okay. Like, you know, like just like chatting. And he was just such good vibes, you know? And I was like, okay. And when we went back the next meeting, they sat me down and they wanted to plan, you know, just like basically, do you want a D&D date, like an abortion date, or do you want to go through with this pregnancy? And no one even prepped me for this meeting. And leading up to the meeting, this peace descended in my life that everything was going to be okay, that my baby was, I don't know where it came from, Chad. It was like, I didn't pray for it. I wasn't in my alone time for it. I wasn't like lighting candles. I wasn't chanting at that point. I was just like doing my life and this peace would come over me. Like I'd just be in my car, like a song would come on and I'd just get so tender and I'd start to cry and I'd just be like, whoa, it's going to be okay. Like, I just knew it was going to be okay to say yes to this baby. And that happened to me leading up to this appointment so many times. And it was so supernatural, you know. And I look back now and I sat in that meeting and they said, what are you going to do, lady? You know, and here's your counselor, here's the doctor, what room do you want to go in? And I just sat there and I knew just to say yes to this child, and that that choice came from sovereignty, and that it was going to be okay. And it was like this gratitude for this whole experience. Like, I was like, yeah, we're going to move forward with it. And, they were like, well, how do you know, you know, and you don't, you know, and it was like, oh, I know, like, and between, you know, it was like, I knew to say yes. And that yes was resonant. And even though this ultrasound was weird and this wasn't working out, like, I was in that yes the whole time. And I actually had to protect the yes, and that peace would visit me. I don't know how to describe it beyond tenderness and knowing it's going to be okay, and that it's a gift when it hits you. And you're just like, I don't even deserve this. Like, there's almost, it just gets you right in your worth guts. You're like, what is this higher force visiting me, telling me it's going to be okay, when you really need that, you know, to hold you, to like really, and yeah. And that's like, that was my third pregnancy. And, yeah, my little guy is almost 7 now, and it's been quite a supernatural journey with him, watching him take form and watching that promise, that peace, to just stay in that frequency as much as I can with him. It almost becomes like a river, right? And this is it, is like, once you feel that river, you want to stay in that. You want to flow with that. You can kind of feel when you're out of the river and when you're back in, and you can play with it. And there's all these songs about that, but that's really what we're talking about. Like, is the stream, there's so many different names, but, peace, you know, the supernatural stream of peace. Yes, you want to teach that? Come, I will coach you. We will play. You will learn, you know. And it's like, some people want passion, the supernatural passion. And it's like, yeah, we can get in that river and we can start to play, but it comes from source. And when you tap into source, you know when you're not in source. And when you're playing in those streams, there's going to be resistance. And it comes to kill you, and you it centers you back in something supernatural. And that is what's happening, is you're growing in that intuition, in that peace, in that passion, or whatever really you have inquired of the universe for, you know, whatever your spin around the sun is about. That's the deeper knowing that you're tapping into.
Wow. Yeah. That's powerful. Yeah, you really are. You're growing in being able to hold the remembrance and the experience of who you really are.
Yes.
And that's the initiation that life is bringing all of us, no matter where we are on our personal journey. It's we're going to have the challenges and the resistance that pushes us to our edges. But at the same time, it's when we need that strength the most, just like in your case.
Yeah.
It comes through without you really having to ask for it. Mm-hmm. There's nothing we need to do. We don't need to earn it or pray harder. Mm-hmm. It's there. It's all built into the game.
Yeah.
That we'll have what we need and all of this for our own evolution and remembrance. Beautifully said, Cedar. I wanted to get into manifestation, which is something that I think has been alive for both of us and the program we're doing. And at the end of the day, we are these physical beings. We came to this playground here on Earth to play around, have fun, experiment, see what we can create. And I'm of the belief that we are these little microscopic creators who are made in the image of the grand creator, that we're these little fragments these little fragments of God, the divine, with the power to generate our own experience. And that's our free will. That's our sovereignty and our power. And like we said earlier, it's a universe of mind. All is mind, says the Hermetic teachings. And so we create through our coherent thoughts, our intentions, our emotions, and ultimately these things come together to inform our actions. So it's kind of the same formula no matter where you look. If you look to religion, we call it prayer. If we look to, you know, when I was an athlete, we called it visualization or mental rehearsal. And more modern day spirituality, it's called manifestation, which I think some people think can be kind of woo-woo and out there, but really same concept, right? So what's been alive for you, Cedar, with manifestation? What are you, you know, how are you learning to tap into this field of infinite possibility to create the reality that you want to see?
Wow. What a question, Chad. Holy smokes. Yeah, I mean, manifestation is so tender and dear to my heart. Again, I work in human design, and my design is actually called Manifestor. So, you know, it's been really amazing working in our program, in the Alyssa Nobrega program. I think getting into the manifestation sequence was fabulous. It's such a great container. She's so light about it. Personally, like, I think where I'm starting to nerd out is like that quantum piece, the mirroring, the matrix, like what is being mirrored back to me, right? Like, what am I seeing and what am I paying attention to? And when I'm in these blissed out states, or when I'm in these moments of like pure connection and just high frequency, what am I dropping in? And like, how am I seeing that reflected back to me? So I have found that, I'm loving playing with that right now. So, can I give an example? Like yesterday?
Oh, please.
Okay. Please. So yesterday I'm at the beach with my son and there's snakes everywhere. And I'm like, oh my gosh, snakes, transformation, beautiful. Okay. Like, I didn't even know there were snakes at a beach. And he's like, let's catch one, Mom. And I'm like, okay. And I, you know, like I wanted to go swimming and there's like snakes everywhere. I'm like, okay, we're not swimming. Like, this is like, I'm creeped out, but it's beautiful. And we start trying to catch a snake, but I'm not really catching it. Like, I'm trying to, like, I want the snake to know that I'm going to pick it up and I just want to find a snake that's like, okay with that. And so I'm kind of just playing in the field with that. And then boom, a snake pokes up and I'm like, that's the one. And he just starts slithering towards the sand. And I'm like, Ace, this is our snake. Like, let's go. And so we follow this snake and he's kind of scared, but he wants to play with us. And so I pick him up slowly and I'm like, oh, this is amazing. And he hides, but he's really friendly. And I give him to my son and I'm like, here's your snake. Like, this is so cool. And this snake like wraps himself around his wrist. I've never even seen a gardener snake do that before, Chad. Like, I'm just like, what? And then Ace is like, he doesn't want to go anywhere. And I was like, that's amazing. Like, okay. And then we go and sit down and he's just like sitting with this snake. And I do these beautiful reels on my Instagram and I just take a video of this snake like wrapped around my son. And then I have this like full circle manifestation moment where he's come through a lot of medical milestones in the last couple years. And it's just been really good lately. It's just been like really easeful and I'm at a different place. And like I shared before with my birth story, there's, you know, there's trauma and it can be shocking and you're relating from a wound or you're coming out of that or you're shifting or you're getting into the quantum and saying, you know, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to be this way. I'm going to be peaceful or easeful. And so we start manifesting, and he has this like wrist, this snake wrapped around his wrist, and he's just sitting there. And I like drop in, and I'm like, oh my God, snakes represent transformation and healing. Like the snake wrapped around, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And I just look at him and I'm like, oh, this is like the quantum manifestation of like the universe. Like, and I'm like making all this meaning, and this is what I do as a mystic. But I just dropped it for a second, and I just tried to stay in the moment with him. And I was like, my son has a snake wrapped around his wrist. He's alive. We're at the beach. And I just, it's like wobbly. Like it was like such a pure manifestation of my heart's desire for him since the moment he was in my womb. And I thought, okay. Right? It's not like, these things are mirroring back to us our heart's desire, and like we have to pay attention. And then like immediately I was like, I need to build a land altar. And so I just like, I had collected berries on the way down to the beach, and cedar and flowers and all these beautiful plants, and I didn't know what it was for, but I was like, oh, let's build an altar and let's be grateful before we leave. And so we built this altar together, and the snake slithered away, and I was like, well, I feel alive. Like, it's like, what just happened, right? Like, it's like, that's, I don't know if that lands in regards to like an manifestation. It's like, sometimes it's big like that, you know? And sometimes you're kind of hacking away at it. You're like, you know, I want healing for my son. I want him to, and then poof, he's on a beach and there's like this snake wrapped around him. And I'm like, weird. Like, it's a reflection, though. It's a mirror. It's a matrix.
Yes.
And
yeah, exactly.
It's taking me to a higher timeline where I'm like, okay, this is another moment in this journey of manifestation, and I'm paying attention, right? Like we build on our faith. Like we build on that last yes, right? And so that work becomes very beautiful as a human, to be in those moments as long as we can and with as much gratitude and devotion as possible, and to revisit them. Oh, I need to revisit that moment on the beach, like when something else is happening. And I think they're almost like a gift, like so we can come back to them. Yeah,
so you nailed it.
Yeah.
pay attention. And I think that's so big for people, because these signs and symbols are all around us. Yeah. You know, the universe, it speaks in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. And if we just pay attention, it's everywhere. Life is very symbolic. It's in the animals. It's in the numerology, the numbers that we see. It's in those little synchronistic moments. And it's like the snake wrapped around the staff, that's the medical symbol. It's the caduceus, healing, transformation. And it's very mystical in origin. So I'm not surprised that you and your son manifested that symbol. Like, how cool is that?
Yeah. And you know, it's like you don't want to place too much like meaning and attachment on the manifestations, but this is the work, right? Is like, we get up into these like high frequency states, and like you drop things in. You're like, oh, I'm going to drop in, I want my own business. I'm going to drop in, just absolute expansion and healing for everyone in my family, including my youngest son. And I'm going to drop in a wraparound deck. Like, I don't know what it is that you want, right? Like, and it's like all of a sudden you're like on your wraparound deck, and you're like, oh, so I'm on the deck, right? Like it almost like takes you, but you like the dropping it in and then paying attention, like pick something neutral, like something in that doesn't have too much charge, and see if it comes forward, you know, like it is pretty playful.
Yeah. Very important point about making it neutral, or at least to start. something you're not attached to. I think that's the big problem people have is they pick something like their business or their income, something that they feel really attached to or dependent on, and then it doesn't work. And then we get disappointed and frustrated and we say, my prayers weren't answered. But as you've talked about this entire episode, this is an inside out universe. So what we are experiencing, especially the resistance on the inside, is going to show up on the outside in our external world to make us conscious and make us aware, to give us feedback of what we're not seeing. So if we have all these attachments to money or relationships, if we're manifesting from that place of need and desperation and lack, it's not going to show up in the same way. So make it playful. And I think that's what you're so good at, is you just have fun with it. You're not attached. It shows up how it shows up. And you talked about your human design, which basically is a, if you're not familiar, it kind of, it's different to a lot of personality systems in that human design is really focused on where your energy goes and how you utilize that energy. So you're kind of a natural manifester. Like, you love to just play around in the realm of possibility.
And it's what I teach. Like, it's like I know it in my body. I know what an energy surge feels like and how juicy it is. And everyone can start to pay attention to that. But other profile types, it does come through less frequently and less like a surge or an urge. And there's less rest like that. Yeah. So keep going.
Yeah. I'm a generator. So
you're a generator. We're a little bit
different. I'm more of the worker bee who finds fulfillment in aligned work and creativity and bringing those ideas into the world. So it's like we're coming from a little bit different of a place in that it's the manifesting is more natural for you, whereas I find myself getting more attached or getting frustrated when I'm working hard and it's not showing up. So it's just an interesting dynamic, I think, to observe.
So tell me what it's like for you as a generator. Like, when you're in, let's say, let's go from stillness. When you're in your stillness and you're feeling resourced and, you know, with, what do you call it, Chad, higher power, or you're just in meditation and you're just like, you're just listening to your breath and all of a sudden you just drop into a flow and it feels so good in your body. You feel like you could stay there forever. Like, why do you even have to come back? Right. Like, have you been there? But you have to come back, right? Like, you're so inside that it's like, and you're so connected and resourced, right? And then it's like you start moving your eyelids and your finger, and you do, like, it's like coming back into this, like, oh, this is my reality, right? So inner.
I mean,
outer.
And finding the balance between inner and outer. Like, I'm definitely wired where I like to go deep within myself. But then as that generator, it's like when the inspiration comes, it comes full force. And I can almost pour myself into my work and forget about everything else. Like, I'll forget to eat if what I'm doing really captures me and is fulfilling to me. And when the inspiration's not there, it's not there. And I'm learning to not force it. To be okay with that, I think.
It's so beautiful.
That it's okay to withdraw again back into my inner world. But it's like I do find a lot of satisfaction in creating things and bringing them into the world. So long as they're really in alignment with what I desire. If it's somebody else's project or it's something I don't believe in, it's like, you know, I'd rather stare at a wall and watch paint dry. So.
And then what's your Enneagram? What's your number for Enneagram?
I'm a five.
You're a five? Oh, you're like the same as my Scotty. Yes. Oh, yeah. So you like really dive deep. Like when you're like, it's like you're in and you love it.
Yeah.
Oh, I love
100%.
that for you.
Yeah, I love the pursuit of knowledge and wisdom and diving deep.
Beautiful. Yeah.
I think we talked about you said you're a four, right?
I'm a four, the individualist. Yeah. I find like being a manifester, like it's like that, except for when the urge comes, it's like being in a transmission. I don't actually know what's happening. I just start informing people. I'll be like, I saw a pamphlet. I'm registering online. I'm letting you know I'm registering online. What are you registering for? I don't know. Ashtanga? Okay, bam, the money shows up. I'm like paying for it. Yeah, I had an old client, and a payment came through, 10 grand. And I was like, I'm going to use this money to pay for this thing I just signed up for. Great, informing, just paid. Like, and then, you know, it can feel like you don't know what you're doing and you can really get caught in that. Like you can, it gets caught right here in the center. And, you know, for those listening that are manifestor profile types, it's like there's different ways to hold that energy. But if I don't inform people what I'm doing, it can actually block the energy. And like you, if you don't take your deep dive and give yourself to it, you know, like you actually stop that energy. It gets like stuck in there. And then
you suffocate yourself almost.
Yeah. And then it's like a lot of people when I'm working with them, you can actually feel the stuckness in the story and you're like, ah, okay. So let's just resource that. Like let's breathe, resource that space, see what comes through. And you're doing a lot of like clearing, you know, you want to clear old energy. You want to get into the now. So it's a lot of like fresh, clean energy when it comes to intuition, right? And then like stepping into expansive spaces where like, although you feel, oh my gosh, if I inform them, they're gonna think I'm crazy. You know, like I used to stay there. And then I was like, you get into your fire. If you just keep doing that, you're gonna feel rage. So then you have to like, fuck it, let's do it. And then, you know, so I took a lot of action in my 20s in fire and it just caused so much chaos. And so now the action for me is softer. It's more tender. It's more intuitive. It's more divine feminine and sovereign. But let me tell you, I would get to rage, right? And then I'd be like, action. And it would be like this manifestation would happen. I'd be like, oh shit, like that was crazy. So it's like a lot of trial and error with our profile types and learning, you know, where you're suppressing energy, you know, what it feels like to do it differently next time and continuing in that river because, you know, knowing yourself is such a beautiful force, right? In the supernatural.
Right. Yeah. It really is so interesting to see all these different profile types in not only in like human design, but when we're going through Enneagram in our program, I'm also a big fan of gene keys, which is kind of goes in tandem with human design.
Tell me about gene keys.
Yeah. Are you familiar with the system?
I don't think so. No.
Okay. So it's, it kind of piggybacks off of human design, but to me, it's much more tangible and practical. Mm-hmm. It combines just
no five
in the same
of you.
Way. Yeah. Right. I go all in. So it is kind of a mathematical mapping that combines like the I Ching and astrology and the chakra system, but it maps it out and it gives you your profile in a way that's broken down into specific areas like work and purpose and financial prosperity, relationships, in this really pretty neat map. And there's 64 gene keys. And really the message behind the gene keys is that within your greatest challenge lies your greatest strength and your gift to the world. So you're meant to kind of progress and evolve from the shadow side of the keys into your gifts. And the highest is what he calls the city. So that's really moving through your inner stuff and transmuting the dark into light, and to realize that your greatest hangups are holding the key to your life's purpose and what it really means to thrive in relationship, in your work, in your career. So it's a very clean system to me. If you like human design, you're going to love Gene Keys.
Thanks.
Especially if you love diving deep. But yeah, all of these modalities to me is just so interesting to realize that there are so many experiences that people are having, and people really don't see things the way that we see things. Much as we may try to convince others of our point of view, they're having a completely different experience of life. And that's really the beauty of it, is the diversity experience that we can have on this planet, in this physical world. So
I love that. I love that you even said, because I find human design is like my limit. There's so many different gates and there's so many different profiles, and you can lead from an emotional authority or you can lead from like throat. And I loved that when you said that, you're so five, Chad, you were like, there's 64 different, you know, and it's like that is so many, but it's beautiful because I can tell just the way that they categorize it and keep it, because human design is like, it's so about gates and like this, you know, and I like that I can be such an intuitive in it, you know, and it can speak to people in a way where, even within your design, there's so much to learn about yourself. But that's so great that you've got this whole other thing going. So good.
Yeah, totally. Okay. Now kind of the last thing I wanted to touch upon before we start to wrap up here is the relationship between spirituality and money. You have quite a lot of experience. You said earlier that you were running your own company. You worked with nonprofits. You obviously have your own coaching business now. And I think one of the biggest hangups for all of us in doing something like starting a business is deprogramming this idea that money is bad, that money corrupts, that you can't be a good spiritual person and have money. I think this is really, really dangerous and unfortunate programming that's come through so many different traditions and generations. So talk to me a little bit about the relationship between money and spirituality as you see it, and what it is to experience true abundance and prosperity in your life.
Yeah, I believe money is energy. So it's a resource energy. Whenever we're talking about money, we're talking about energy. So that for me is like non-negotiable. Like, so money usually is attached to worth, self-worth, worth work, self-love, your relationship to all the different parts of you. So I find when people pick money as a goal, like I'm going 100,000, you know, our philanthropic enterprise is going to raise, you know, 100 million in 10 years or like whatever it is. We make it about the money, but it is energy. And so it's our ability to receive plays a huge part in that process. Would you not agree? So
I would agree that it's not really a money problem. It's a receiving problem.
You said it before, inner world, outer world. So like our bank account reflects, you know, I guess because I grew up in such a big family too, Chad. And did you have a big family? Small family?
Small family.
So I had a lot of siblings, and I actually watched my mom play with money and play with resource and abundance. And source, when it comes to provision and miracles, I think my family lived in a lot of miracles and provision miracles. And so I learned when you have need to ask and receive very young, you know, like if there's no groceries, you know, people will give to you if you ask. And there's programs, and I was a part of a food program for 15 years in my nonprofit. Like, and it's really good energy resourcing people. And I do think it's, I mean, being in that service really teaches you about the energy of abundance, you know, and the energy of giving and receiving. And so if you haven't played, right, like if you haven't played in abundant energy and service energy and giving and providing to the poor or giving of your time or generosity, these things all flow into the river of, I want a lot of money. I want to make a lot of money. I want to have $100,000. You know, it's like, that's great. You know, but can you manifest, you know, like start small with money? Like, start with energy. I feel like at this point in my life, I've just been resourced by some higher power. Like I don't know if I have goals. I guess I'm getting really personal, but it's like, I've seen a lot of money come through and I don't know where it comes from, but I know you have to like keep expanding your capacity to receive. Mm-hmm. And the best way to do that is to be ready and to believe it's coming and to prepare and make space for it before it's even there. And to imagine what you would do with it and to like take action and allow the money to show up for you. Like that's the hardest part too, is like everyone wants to wait for the money, but it's like when I signed up for that course, it was actually the action that brings in the money. So there's all these like beautiful hacks within money where wanting is just the first part of it. Amazing. We're wanting. I love that desire for you. Let's get into that pulse, you know, like let's get into that desire, that money pulse. Beautiful. Cause it's going to bring up all of your shadow, all of the worth, you know? And so I always love when people want to work with money and abundance. Cause I'm like, well, we're going to be deep diving with like whatever comes up. It's probably going to be, you know, maybe like some trauma you forgot about in your childhood, who knows, but it's really beautiful because as we make space to receive and open and expand, the money comes, the energy has space, and it's a really beautiful process. And it's the same every time. I think you'd agree, is you got to make the space for the energy. And that looks like a lot of creative, beautiful conscious planning sometimes. Yeah, those are my thoughts. What do you think?
That's a great message. No, I agree with everything you said, and I thought that was super well put. And just to understand too that money is sort of the physical reflection of a spiritual energy. Mm-hmm. And so there's not a finite amount of it. Mm. Which is, I think,
so good.
As you touched upon, we have so much childhood programming around money, and it goes so deep.
Oh,
and I know that one of the big beliefs that I had to work through, and then I'm probably still working through on a lot of levels, is that if I have a lot, I'm somehow taking away from other people. That if I've got, you know, a bank account full of money, it's my fault that that guy is standing there on the street homeless. Right. And so those are the things we don't question, but it's like, okay, if this money is coming from a place beyond where I can imagine, if it's of spiritual origin and there's an infinite amount, then, you know, I don't have to know where it's going to come from.
Totally,
I can manifest this into reality, and me increasing my flow of money to me is not taking away from anybody else's prosperity. That's their journey. And so we're not responsible to save people or to blame ourselves for the problems in the world. So, yeah, I think that was really well put. And just
And
how
Chad, when
you.
you say that too, like your relationship with the supernatural is personal. So there's all like there's big ticket items with supernatural: peace, money, passion, joy. You know, like there's all these, there's so many more, but it's like your relationship with money is so personal to you and source. And you know, if you feel called, if you're feeling like, oh man, I require more resource for this, it's such a great park the car, like park it, you know, park your car there and start playing, right? Like it can feel denser when you get into it at first, but it's like, if you're feeling like, I see everyone as a channel, you're a channel. I want to give you all my money. I want to work with you. I want to get it to your business. I want to get it into your soul because you're the kind of person that is going to make magic with it. Right. And it's like you're a channel, and that channel is it, like it expands. Like it's like, woof, woof, like as you play in it and as you focus on it. And so if you're like, you know what, I want more money in my life because I trust myself that I want to do some amazing work in the world, and I'm going to need a lot of money to do that. And so I'm going to start playing. I'm going to park the car and I'm going to focus on that channel. And as you, you know, make space to see what's in that channel, it clears out, right? Because the universe is going to come and say, oh, Chad, there's this little limiting belief. Remember your dad always said that you were expensive and you're not going to do the right thing when the money comes, and that stupid piggy bank broke. Remember when that, you know? And so it's like there's so many different channels. They call them nadis in yogic philosophy. But all these channels, they carry stories and memories, and you really want to like clear them out, right? And you want to make space for this, like you're saying, this higher gene code, this quantum. What is the highest timeline that, with money? And it is that money is unlimited. You know, it can get to you, that it wants to resource you. It's trying to find you. And so when you sit there in that, Chad, and you're just like, it's such a high frequency that it starts clearing out the other stories. You don't even really have to entertain the other stories. Like you can write them down. We do lots of journaling work and conscious journaling when we're really in a channel. It's like, okay, Chad, we're in the money channel. Come on, 3 minutes every morning, you're going to start writing about what your parents told you, all the dumb shit that society has conditioned you, Western, like, and you just like start getting into the origin story and all the layers, and you just start deconstructing it. And then it's like 6 months later, we're done coaching, and you're like, you're just like, holy smokes, like 20 grand just showed up from this program. It's in my bank account. I set up my payment system. I'm not even there. It's just been paid for. And it's like they're using it in the school over here. And like that kind of clarity where it almost feels like you're not working for it, but you've done so much inner work, right? Like no one knows that your channel, you've cleared it out. You've kept it clean. You've been focusing on it. You've been consciously scrubbing it and making space and expanding it and expanding your field to receive. And it's like, no one sees that work. Just, you know, like that's just you and your coach or you and your community or wherever you're doing that. That's just where you and God decided to park the car. And you can park the car anywhere you want. You can play anywhere you want, you know, and then you start to learn like, what kind of car do you want to be sitting in? You know, like have some fun with all of that. And that's quantum, right? Like that's where it gets really fun, because it doesn't matter how dark that shadow is or how dense or how bad the trauma and the conditioning is, I guarantee source is bigger, and that we can melt all of that back into love and wholeness, and it can come back clean. And so these things feel really big at first, overwhelming, and then the work really is getting through that resistance so that your channel is like, you know, in 15 years, Chad's just like the $1 million, I don't know what you're doing, oh my gosh, but you're a five, so like it'll be very specific, that's for sure. Yeah,
I love that visual. And what you said too about how the light and the clarity just kind of melts away the stories. I think people who do a lot of deep work like you and me, it's easy to get stuck in uprooting the old stories and digging deep, and you kind of almost get addicted to, you know, diving into the old stuff because it feels like you're fixing something about yourself.
Or like healing or like,
And it's like, no, just focus on what you want, make it light and let that melt away, because life's going to show you where the resistance is. It's going to mirror back what you need to work on in
the resistance is coming. I guarantee you, it's like, it's a part of it, right? So just, it's like, it is on its way. And we can just like know that it's coming, and that's its job. It is the force. There are two forces at work. There's like the dream and there's the resistance. And one doesn't work without the other. So we have to find our center. We have to find that center channel. We call it the Shishumanada. And you know, we practice breathing up and down and coming back to our breath. Even though this feels really big over here, like it's gonna kill you. And this feels like a total dream, just a full orgasm, you know, and we don't cling to the orgasm, and we also don't resist the trauma. Like, we have to find this beautiful space in between where we do our work, right?
Right. Yeah, the resistance and the vision and living in the middle, that's duality. That's the nature of our universe. That's the light and the dark. The yin and the yang.
Yeah. It's what you like find. Sometimes you're like way over here. Sometimes like you're way too far into the juicy, you know, and it's like, but it's all just like being human, and and being human is being supernatural. You are a multidimensional being. You are wired for this. It's what we know, and it's especially in like the AI, like I'm now raising kids with AI, and it's like the number one gift I can give them is like this. You're a supernatural, multidimensional being, and there's so much fun to be had in finding your center and taking action from that place and playing with something so much bigger than you, right?
Right. And that is the greatest gift that really we can give anybody is to see them in their wholeness and help them to give themselves permission to step into that wholeness, right?
Yes, so good.
Yeah, before we ask you the final two questions, I wanted to give you an opportunity just to share with people where they can find you and learn more about what you do.
Well, you can find me on Nuklelequam, so in the Salish Sea, off the coast of Vancouver. I'm on Bowen Island. I live on a cidery. To find me for coaching, you can find me on Instagram at cedar.loats. And that's also my email, cedarloats@gmail.com. And I keep it pretty simple that way. So I take three clients a year. And I do that intuitively, and we do a gathering once a year, and so clients will come back and we'll all get together, and I do 6-month coaching containers, and there's so many other things that I'm into right now. Coaching is beautiful. I sometimes say they should call it teaching. Like, coaching is teaching, it's pastoring, it's all these beautiful, you know, it's like a big hat. It's a big hat, coaching. But being an intuitive guide, what I've loved about coaching is we go from here to here and we measure. And I think that that's what's wonderful and different than therapy. And I do have a background in counseling. So, you know, it's like there's a bit of a application process, like, you know, there has to be, we have to resonate, like, what do you want, and get to know you. And usually we, you know, jump on a call together and it, you know, talk for 45 minutes. And, you know, I really get to understand you and what's happening in your world and what you're longing for, where your desires are at, where you're stuck, you know, where, and that's probably my favorite part of taking clients is getting into their process and then building a container for that. So yeah, so that's a part of the coaching training side of what I'm doing. But there's also a business side too. So I'm teaching in schools, I'm teaching in the judicial system, so with teens at risk. I'm teaching embodiment practices, sovereignty courses, working with mums and tots. So yeah, those things are really, really big in my heart right now. And I think 2026, I'm shifting a little bit more in that direction. And so I'll be even more careful about who I'm working with. Yeah, thanks for asking.
Yes, lots of new ideas, a true manifester.
I know, I have to be so careful. Well, there was a time in my life, all I did was one-on-one work and it consumed me and it was so beautiful. And I feel like I could just fill my days with one-on-one work, and I have. And it was, I've learned so much. And I'll just give all my clients that want to do one-on-one work to you, Chad.
Yeah.
And then those clients that want to do like more like a 6-month, like transformational, where at the end we meet, you come out to Bowen Island, we're going to do cider, we're going to do ecstatic dance, like we're going to, you know, like climb a mountain together, like we're going to really get you, we're really going to take you from here to here. Like, I think that's the 4D portal for me and some of the, some of who I'll be working with in the future. So
it's the full immersion experience with Cedar.
Yes, let's go.
All right, amazing. Now, final two questions, kind of a rapid fire. We ask everybody these.
Okay.
Number one, in the spirit of this being the Supernatural Podcast, what is your definition of living an extraordinary life?
So good. Okay, I would just say it's like being in every moment you can, and supernatural is like stretching it and losing time and knowing how to allow it to move into like the next moment. And that is magic. That is supernatural. So even just like a loss of time, like when you're in your flow, Chad, and like hours go by because you're in research and you're like, oh my God, I've been researching for 6 hours. Like, it's like, yeah, this a supernatural life is one where you're paying attention to moments. You're paying attention to pings. You understand you're a channel. You're like a big creative antenna. And this creative consciousness is trying to get to you. And how do you expand and open up to it and allow it to take you for a ride, right? Like that is a supernatural life. And knowing in your deepest, deepest part of you that you want to be of service to the greater collective and to what that higher power, where it's moving, you want to be a part of that. It will respond with yes, always meet you with yes. That is supernatural. And then to go with that yes and to start allowing your whole field to shift around those moments and pay attention to them, that is a supernatural life.
Yeah. Wow. Incredible. Yeah, don't miss out on the beauty that life is trying to show you.
Totally. Yeah, man, it is what it's about. Like, yes. Stay with the rose, stay in the smell, romance the shit out of things. Take too long, go slower. Like, yeah, that is where you will be still. You know, people say be still, like, yeah, yeah. Especially in our culture, it's so toxic and rapid. So yeah. Okay. Next question.
Yeah. Be still and know thyself.
Yeah.
Returning to self. Yes. So last question.
Okay.
Of course, and I know you see this too, we're in very interesting times and there's so many people waking up to the illusion and remembering who they are, and it feels like the tree is being shaken in a lot of ways for people. So if you had one message, one encouragement for people at this time, what would that be?
It's just okay to not know. It's just so okay to not know. And we can expand from there. Yeah. None of us know what we're doing. So, so like, you're not alone. You know, that's a big thing I pump. You're not alone in that, and in not knowing what you're doing, and in uncertainty and in self-doubt. Like, you are not alone in all of that. And your people will come, and they will meet you, and they will support you, because you're not supposed to do this alone. And and they will find you. So put your radar out for it, put your antenna up, and just start asking. Close your eyes and just say, like, just little tiny pulses, little tiny prayers, little tiny desires. Just start shooting them up. Just allow them to come. And even if you don't know what you're saying, I would say, what did you say about trees, Chad? Did you say something?
About trees? Oh. Kind of just how the trees are, it feels like the tree is being shaken, and
yeah,
it's just chaos, but
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, chaos is good. Chaos is a part of it. You can't have chaos. The chaos comes before the birth. So the contractions are crazy. It's going to shake, you know, you're not going to know what you're doing, and that's good. And we need support, and we need people around us, and we need, you know, coaches. We need you. We need the Chads. We need the Alyssas. And we're here. That's like a part of our service work, right? So, believe for the right people in your life. And when you feel them, and when they come, like, be open to what they're reflecting back to you, and the messages that they bring, and the subtleties of the supernatural. Like, it could be someone you meet somewhere and you don't even know, and they're going to say something profound to you, and it's going to lift you out of, like, your deepest depression that you've been in, that you haven't understood for 10 years. And it can happen that fast. Right. So, yeah, I think that's it. I think that's all that's coming through my channel right now.
So good. Cedar, thank you so much for joining me and for co-creating this amazing conversation. I know I'm buzzing right now. I'm energized. I'm inspired.
Me too.
So I hope that, you know, the audience can pick up on some of that energy.
Good.
You don't even need to digest all of the words. Just let yourself
soak it up.
Be in that space, be in that energy. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Thanks so much for being here, Cedar. It's always great to connect with you.
I'm going to cut you off and thank you, because you're such a deep well, and I don't know. I think it's important just to take a minute and to honor your work and what you're doing, and how important it is, and how profound it is, and what a deep well you are, and the work you've done with me. I remember it took us weeks to integrate it. It was so beautiful, right? Yeah, it was so good. So thank you for your investment, and for calling forth the supernatural in those around you. And I hope it reflects back to you in magnificent ways over the coming days.
Thank you so much. And it's a true honor and an encouragement to be able to find people like you. And it's a real, you know, affirmation to me from life that I am on my path, and that I'm being brought together with people of your depth and richness. So thanks so much.
You're so welcome. So beautiful.